Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 58 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we have a special surprise. Jimmy spends some time with our friend Logan Ciclo, the producer and director of As Dreamers Do, to find out what Logan's been up to and how the movie's been doing. It's been out for about 6 months now, and I can't wait to hear what Jimmy and Logan have to say.
Hello, and welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. In this week's episode, we have the great pleasure of having back director and producer of the movie As Dreamers Do, which is a fantastic biopic about the life of Walt Disney, Logan Ciclo. Logan, how's it going?
Oh, it's going really well. Thanks, Jimmy, for bringing me back on here. We've had a lot of great feedback from your listeners, and I'm excited to now that we're kind of back around to share the love once again and tell you all that's going on and what's coming up for As Dreamers Do. Like you said, when I was back on the show, we were still, you know, almost, I think, mid-production. And now the movie's well out and released in the public and get in all your major retailers. And it's just an exciting time to be someone who put together the movie and excited for you guys. I think you're going to need the credits with people that really helped us drive the train home and get us out there to as many people as possible. So it's been a fun journey. And though it seems like it would be winding down about now, things have just started to pick up with international distribution and a lot of new things that are coming up because of As Dreamers Do. So it's an exciting time and a busy time here at the studio.
Fantastic. We had such a great time having you on last time. For those of you who haven't listened to the last episode Logan's on, please go back and check it out. He not only is he the director and producer of this movie about Walt, he is a true Disney nerd.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This was a movie that was out of, and if you guys have already heard that episode, I apologize. I'll try not to say the same things again. But yeah, I grew up just a huge Disney fan. I'm still, you know, at the parks often, and I'm a huge Walt fan. I was married at Disney World. So it's in my blood, and I was just excited to be part of the journey to tell the story.
We were all so excited to see our name in the credits, by the way, and we really appreciate that. It's a big deal for us. You know, we just got to the point where we hit our 1 year mark. So we're
congratulations, happy birthday!
Yeah, thank you so much. So we're excited. You know, we just recently made a trip down to Walt Disney World right about the year mark, and we did a meet there. We did a couple meets there. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened it worked out where all four of us from the podcast could be down there at the same time. And we talked about that a little bit and thought back, you know, a year ago, where we imagined that, you know, in 1 year we'll all be at the parks together doing a meet. And so for a fairly young podcast, you know, we were all very excited and very appreciative to have our name in the credits of a movie, which is a pretty big deal. So, yeah. Again, we really appreciate that. And
hey man, it's cool for me to have my credit in a movie, and I made the movie. You know, we started this adventure a little over a year ago now, and now we're at the point where it's been released. But it was pretty surreal for everyone here on the crew to walk into it. To get it online was cool. We go on Amazon and iTunes, and there it was. And, you know, we kept saying, like, if you bought it from Amazon, it was awesome to not be the person that was also shipping it. We were like, it came. Like, we had nothing to do with this. It's great. But it was really surreal to go into, like, a Walmart store. And,
I was going to say that. Walking into a Walmart and just, bam, well, there's my movie on the shelf.
Well, I'd say I wish it was that. And I kind of had to pray a few times that I would have that experience, because the first time I walked in, the day it was supposed to come out, it wasn't there. I was like, oh, no, that's not good. So I go in the second day, and there's a slot for it. And it's empty. I was like, there's no way we sold out. And So I asked around, they're like, yeah, we think we did. And then it comes to find out that I'm getting these reports from all over the country, and we had the empty shelf syndrome. And one shelf in Walmart that had our little plaque on it and our little barcode, nowhere had the DVDs, but they had the spot for it. So, you know, after about, they found out there was some confusion in the system, and 1 week later it hit all the stores. But it took a couple times going in there to get it, and it felt very like, felt very awkward to be like, do you guys happen to have this movie? I'm not going to buy it, but I want to see it. I just want to see it. So thankfully, actually, I was at Walt Disney World a few weeks ago, and I had not had the experience where just I had walked into a store, and they've been stocked now, where I just walked into a store, and there it was, until I was at the, just the one kind of near Celebration. And I was like, you know what, I'm out here. I need to pick up something for my family. I was like, I'm just going to go see. And there it was. And I bought one copy there at the store closest to Disney World. And I was like, all right, well, that's how it was meant to be. And it was pretty surreal, man. And I think it's been crazy for everyone involved, because we just thought this was going to be a little movie that we made for ourselves, and that we sold ourselves online, and we hoped we could recoup the cost and it would go okay. But really, it's been a game changer for us as Disney fans and as producers, and so many doors have opened just because of that movie that got to the right people and got, you know, worldwide distribution. And now we're on to the next one, but we're still really ingrained in the Disney community. And I want to make sure that we, whatever we do next, it still connects with those people. We have some really cool ideas we'll be announcing in the next few weeks, as well as new projects. We're always wanting to be involved with people like you. I'll be out, next week at the Reimagine conference, which is run by it's a Disney fine artist, Noah Fine Art, and I'll be speaking there, and Tony Baxter is there, and a few other Imagineers, and I'm like, to be just listed on this group of people, I'm like, all right, sounds good, man. Like, I never would have dreamed of this, so that's pretty it's pretty rad. And then there's so many other things that have come up. There's a book that's out now by Theme Park Press that I did the foreword to. And it's about the same time period. Kind of, we kind of said it's like almost the companion piece to our book or to our movie. It's a lot more detailed. The name of the book is The Adventures of Young Walt Disney. It's very detailed, and what I liked about it, but yeah, you can see on the front it says like official companion of As Dreamers Do, and I did the foreword. Wow. And what's cool about that book is, not to sell a book more than sell a movie, but happy to talk about it, is they took the same method we did. And, you know, as a Disney fan, you know that there's a lot of stories that go along with Walt. There's a lot of interpretations of stories. Walt told stories multiple different ways. So we as filmmakers had to go through. We obviously couldn't be like, all right, here's eight different versions of the same scene. We had to pick what we thought was either what Walt said, which is what we usually try to stick to. Even if historians said that, maybe that didn't happen, we try to say, if Walt said it, we're going to go with it. Sure. Or if it wasn't that, we'd have to pick what we thought was the best story or most likely to be true and the most compelling. Some are kind of myths. But we thought they were worth telling if Walt told them it was worth telling. What I like about the book, too, is they talk about they give you kind of each one of those stories. There's like sort of like, this is what we think happened, but here's three or four options that may have happened. Because a lot of stuff happened 100 years ago. But it's been really cool. It's been a really neat experience to hear back from the people that, you know, we so wanted to please, which was the hardcore fans. And, you know, overall it's been very positive. You know, we did this movie on a low budget with a lot of actors who had not really been in movies before. And some of that shows here and there, but overall I think the heart's in it, the right places. And, you know, we're still excited to see it. And if I can still watch the movie, that's pretty good for me after I've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times.
Right. No, I agree. You definitely get the heart of the movie. You get, you get what you were trying to portray, which I think is the most important part.
Yeah. And hopefully a lot of you people have seen it, man. And if you have seen it, I would encourage you, hit up Amazon and iTunes. Even if you have seen it, please leave us a review. Positive, negative, I don't care. Just, I just want to hear people's thoughts on the movie so we know what we can do better next time, or what you enjoyed or what you didn't enjoy. And that's been a learning experience itself.
So going back to your speaking engagement, and we don't have to talk a whole lot about it, but I think something that struck me, you know, anytime I think you're on a list, no matter what it is, with Tony Baxter,
yeah,
I think you've done something right, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the Reimagine conference. It's kind of a conference for creative people and entrepreneurs. And it's, like I said, it's run by Noah, who's a Disney artist. And there's the other people. It's next week, so I mean, if you can come out, awesome. It is kind of a high dollar ticket, but if you actually, if you email, maybe email Jimmy, and Jimmy, if you could connect me with some people, that I could probably work. I think I have like a special rate that I can probably offer people for as a speaker. It's in LA. It's actually in Irvine, California, which is right near Disneyland. We're right outside of Anaheim, and it's Noah. Like I said, there's Chip Foose, who's from Overholland.
Oh, love Chip.
One of my buddies, Eric, who works at Pixar. He worked on all the last like six Pixar movies.
Nice.
Like I said, Tony Baxter, and a couple other Imagineers, and the producer of the Festival of Fantasy Parade. A lot of Disney people that should be really interesting if you're into sort of the behind the scenes and how to grow your business and that kind of thing. It's going to be a fun event. I'm going to share a little bit about As Dreamers Do, and as well as I'm going to be talking to Yvonne next Friday, I believe. And you know, we'll be chatting about the movie and what's coming next and how involved. But either way, I'd love to see anybody who's out there. But it's Tony Baxter, I think, speaks the day before I do. And they're like, well, you can come if you want to come to whatever. I was like, well, I will be at that one.
Yeah, definitely be at that one.
Like, and hopefully I'll sneak in. Here's a quick picture. Because I am such, obviously, a huge fan of his and of Disney in general that it's just exciting. Oh, I did see looking at the list here, the VP of Parades and Spectaculars for the Walt Disney Creative Entertainment. So for people like us, that's pretty cool. That's a guy that created World of Color and Wishes. So that's
absolutely
pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
So I'll move on from that, but it's Reimagined Conference, reimaginedconference.com. And you can actually look on our Facebook too. You see I posted stuff about it. So it's coming up next week. And like I said, you can go through Jimmy, you can go through the Disney Nerds. I'm happy to talk to people or just send me a message on Facebook. I'm happy to assist in that. But a year ago, if you told me that was going to be something that I would be involved in, I probably, no way. and you know, that's been cool, man. It's been cool that I had no idea if Tony Baxter has seen or heard of our movie. But what has been nice is to be somewhat recognized within the community of people that are, I'm really excited that the same people that are excited to see Tony Baxter are having even a little interest in seeing me as well. So that's been fun. And that's been something that is a dream come true to really be embraced by the community as well as we have.
Gives you a little validation.
It does. A lot of validation, man. Yeah. I mean, I think that there was definitely some nerves going into this that, you know, what if we horribly disappointed people? And there's some people that were disappointed. I'm not going to, like, sugarcoat it. There's some people that were like, well, this kid actor was as good as this character, or this script part wasn't as good, or this direction and this quality. And in fact, some people complained about the depth of field of the camera. And then some people that just didn't get it. You know, the movie takes place, for those who don't know, it's Walt Disney's life from when he pulls into Marceline as a young boy. And I don't mind giving this part away, but it's kind of until he leaves for Hollywood. So it's his time in the Midwest. Really, it's a time of growth. It's a time of struggle and failure that ultimately leads to his success. Now, we don't really get into much about the founding of the studios and that kind of thing. And we've gotten some people that just didn't understand that. Why do we do that? Why do we end where we end? And one person, my favorite review ever that we got, said something to do with, like, if you want your kid to ever, like, want to pursue his dreams, do not see this movie. And I was like, I think they just missed the point. Because the point to me was we all go through these struggles and failures, but it's just that courage to keep going and to, if you really believe in something, to pursue it. And I think that really wanted to be the message to me was, Walt Disney, this brand, this man who was a legend, you don't know the fact that he went through so much to get to that point. So much at a young age.
So that
to me is the message of the whole, that's the way we all can connect with him, is because we've all been through something like that.
I think it's a fantastic message, and not to get into too much of, off the beaten path, but, I think that's something in today's society that's almost lost. We kind of live in this environment where, everybody gets a trophy and, it's a terrible thing to fail. Well, you know what?
Yes.
To succeed, you have to fail. You don't learn from your successes. You learn from your failures. So
yeah, there are very few people that are the first thing they tried. There are overnight successes, obviously, but a lot of people you think are these overnight sensations have been trying and failing and working things out and checking things out and figuring it out for a lot of their lives. I've done tons of shorts and documentaries and stuff like that. This is our first time into a feature film, and I can tell you there'll be successes from this movie, mean, there'll be failures from this movie. But what it does, it just prepares us for the next one. And that's what really has done. If this movie, you know, really just gave us enough clout to do another, that was enough for me. But really, I think that as long as we stay true to who we were and telling the story we wanted to tell. And I think we did. I think that overall, there are certain moments that obviously I watch and go, I wish I had done that. Wish I had done that better. But overall, there's a lot of exactly how it showed up in my head and what came out on camera. And overall, man, that is the message with Astrid Must Do is really it's that old keep moving forward message that Walt also said, you know, which was, you know, essentially just to do that. If things, you know, keep coming down on you, I mean, there are ways you can change and there's advice he took and there's people who helped him along the way. But when everyone said there's no reason this should work, it still worked and he still kept going. If you really feel that, that's what we wanted to share was that bit of the story. And it's a story that a lot of people don't know. And we've heard from really cool people in Missouri and in areas like that, Kansas City and in Marceline, who've seen the movie and really enjoyed it. And that's been fun too. And it's just exciting, man, to have the movie out there for people to see. And as much as it is or was a risk for us to make it, as Walt's risk it is in the movie. You know, we had no idea what was going to happen. We could have just wasted a bunch of money and no one ever saw it. Thankfully, that wasn't in the cards. And that's part of the adventure. It's part of the American adventure, to say. And we wanted to kind of showcase that, you know, kind of the American spirit throughout it.
Haven't seen the movie a couple times. I definitely think you got your point across. And, you know, I think you did what you were looking to do. And, you know, it's funny you say you go back and look at it and you think, well, I could have done this different or I could have did this. I bet you, you know, even, you know, George Lucas probably has those moments, you know.
Oh, I think everyone.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you're your own worst critic. So when you go back and look at it, you think of all the possibilities and you think about the time when you did it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's now easy for me to kind of disconnect, like watching the movie and thinking about making it. When we were making it, it was just like, oh, remember that day? Remember that guy was in such a horrible mood you know, it was negative 37 degrees outside and we were shooting this out. You know, right. I mean, that's what I said in the last podcast. And it's true. The opening scene, the first thing you see is Walt Disney comes out and he sits down on the train station. We shot that. It was negative 7 outside.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
And so in my head, it's hard to always disconnect from like his leg isn't shaking out of like acting nerves. His leg is shaking out of it. It's freezing.
Right.
sometimes that's hard to disconnect with. But now I've been able to kind of sit back and a year later almost and enjoy it and say, you know what, I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of what we did. And thankfully, our next go-round, we're hopefully going to share some of the same adventures again, bringing back some of the same cast. We're working towards our next production. And you never know what's going to come up. You know, I would tell you, we'll probably be announcing it at Reimagine, but there's nothing that's going to be as
groundbreaking.
It won't have the built-in fan base as Dreamers Do did, but it will at least, I think the audience will be similar. It's a family movie. It's funny. It has some drama and some serious notes to it, and it's overall has a kind of a it feels Disney at heart, but it's not a Disney movie.
I was hoping for Jim Henson.
Yeah, man, I would love that. We've been talking about if we were to do another person, who we'd do. Jim Henson is pretty, you know, darn up there for me, man. That'd be awesome.
Right.
It is getting a little quirky. Thankfully, with Walt, you know, it sounds horrible to say this, but there's a lot of Walt rules with like, all right, you know, we're able to tell the story because X, Y, and Z is true. Whether it's no one in the movie is still living, there's a lot of things like that. There's things and there's just history there that we were able to play off of without getting permission from. You know, or going through a lot of sources to get permission for these things. A lot of it was the content we covered. If you cover Jim, if you do what we do, and you cover Jim Henson without the Muppets, I feel like you're probably not going to have that interesting of a movie.
Right.
Though he has a great story, I think he started that so young that it's that it'll be hard. But I hope to do Jim Henson. I hope we can shed a little light on a few other individuals here and there. We've about
maybe Tony Baxter can point you in the right direction.
Yeah, maybe Tony.
Permission from.
Yeah, maybe Tony. I've kind of just said that. You know, maybe that's validation alone. But they hopefully we're able to continue. You know, there's been talk of and want from certain people to do the next stage of Walt's life, which would be to do from when he arrives in California, probably till he loses Oswald and that part. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to do it without the guys who played Walt and Roy to come back, and then some of them have gone on to do some other things. I don't know if we'll be able to get them to do it time wise right now. Sure. So I think we'll hopefully get to that at some point, but maybe it's a couple pictures down the road. But you know, we're also building a little bit of a universe, and expect at least in our next movie to see a lot of familiar faces. And definitely some As Dreamers Do references. I think this doesn't give away anything, but there's a main character family that lives in a house, and you can find like the Laugh-O-Gram posters in their house. So you'll be able to look for nice. Stuff like that that will be hidden throughout the movie. And we hope to build that little universe. But because of you guys and people like you, other podcasts and Disney news websites, it's really, we just did a survey last night, and a lot of people found out of us because of people like you guys. I mean, the second biggest thing that people found out about us was from Disney podcasts. And it shows the power that you guys have and the community that you've built. Like you said, you're 1 year in, but you're doing live meets. Like, I mean, that would make me super nervous. And it's awesome. I saw pictures. A lot of people showed up, and it's pretty unbelievable. And it's really unbelievable to see this community continue to grow and in general, help each other and be supportive.
And that's one of the things that, you know, I find great about the Disney community. And, you know, I was a Disney nerd before I was a Disney podcaster, but we get together and we do a meet like that, and we, you know, we're going in thinking, well, you know, if three people show up, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was also a collaborative effort. We, you know, we had some other people from other groups and other podcasts that we're friends with who also said, you know what, they put it out to their people. Hey, if you're down at this time, go over to, you know, the Disney Nerds podcast meet. And, you know, earlier we were talking about validation, and, you know, I don't feel like I have to have validation because we do what we do because we really enjoy it. But it is nice to know that you're getting through and, you know, you're making an impact some kind of way.
Even just saying, I love, you know, I'm obviously very involved in the conversation, and I try to stay unbiased on certain things just because we have a lot of friends. That has been one of the cool parts about this. We have a lot of friends now within the Disney company. And, you know, when stuff like Maelstrom is closed, it's just crazy and awesome to see, you know, even sort of an attraction that beyond the hardcore fans is kind of one of the forgotten attractions, but had so much impact just saying that either wanted to save it or memories or get rid of it. Just the fact that there was the outcry just shows a lot. And okay, they got attention, that got, you know, mainstream press over something that to the most people would probably just be, oh, whatever. I mean, it's not a big deal. They're just changing this up to that. What? And it's just been, and that was some of our nerves in the movie. It's like, what if we disappoint those people?
Right.
Then there'll be this outcry to, like, you know, to get rid of our movie and to burn every copy. But thankfully, it's been largely the opposite, and it's fun, man. It's really fun to watch everything that's been changing, and I can't wait to get down and see hopefully some of the Christmas stuff. I'll be at Disneyland next week over at Disney World, hopefully by the end of the year, and see some of the Christmas stuff. And then who knows what's going on over at the studios, and I look forward to hopefully Star Wars. So we'll
actually, we recorded a show last night that's going to be our next show, and that's kind of what we that's what we talked about, was that all the changes that are coming, the things that they've gotten rid of, and the things – we kind of talked about what we've heard is going to be coming and what we'd like to see. So
yeah, like, I'm super nostalgic for all the stuff, and I really do, I do love it. But I'm not, unless it's something that's going to like hit me really in the heart, I'm always really excited when they announce something new and change it up, because people like us have gone, you know, a lot, have gone often to the parks. It's always cool to see something new. And while I hope things don't, I don't like it being stripped of, you know, the original parts of the park and things like that, I am always excited to see what they have up their sleeve and what's new. So, whether good or bad, so I'm excited at the parks, what's going on, and
I agree.
I can't wait. I mean, I think the studios, there's some parts of me that are certainly bittersweet at Hollywood Studios, and you know, if they take out the Great Movie Ride or something like that, I may be
upset.
But you know, was I that excited about the Backlot Tour? Not really anymore. Why? Because I know what's coming there. And when's the last time I did the Backlot Tour? Sadly, been like a couple years.
Well,
I'm excited to see what's next. I'm excited to see the next adventure.
We were talking last night, you know, and the Great Movie Ride was taken out a long time ago. I mean, not the Backlot Tour was taken out a long time ago. I mean, it's been a wimpy kind of version of itself for 10 years now, you know, ever since since 2005, when they got rid of Residential Street, they put Lights, Motors, Action. So
right, that's really my last great memory of that, and I think that there's, yes, there's some sadness. I'm sad that's no longer a studio. You know, that's something that, well, as a production guy, is the one thing that does hit me. But it hasn't been a studio, really, for a long time now. And now it's just kind of putting the nail in the coffin. But I'm...
And I think that's where these changes are coming from, is that they've been struggling with an identity. You know, they've always been living off this identity that they are a studio, but they haven't been for so long now that I think that it's time for them to make a change and go straight, you know what, we're a theme park and that's what we are.
Yeah, because even Universal, I could go and make a movie there if I wanted to. Like, if I had the funds, they still have studio space and all that, and you could still rent it out. You still have your production office there. Plenty of my friends do. And you can still do that, but... I don't think it's a bad thing to go this way, and I'm excited to see the changes as a huge fan of the parks and a huge fan of Star Wars, a huge fan of all the things they've acquired as well as their original properties. And heck, I like Frozen, so I'm excited about all the Frozen stuff. But I'm really excited about Big Hero 6, and I hope that's gonna be great too. But
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't. I'm going tonight to Big Hero 6. So,
I'm looking forward to that one too.
I'm excited. But man, I don't mean to go off on tangents. I really do support everything the Disney community is standing for, and I'll be around. Trust me, this movie was not the end of me being around telling you guys about all our little adventures. We'll be sure to do things, do some more things for the Disney community, and we'll see what comes next. We have some ideas, and I'm excited to still be a part of it. You know, as much as I wanted to come in here and promote the movie and tell everyone where they can get it, which I will, I just wanted to do come on here and say to you guys and all the Disney podcasts and news sites and people that tweeted us or Facebooked us over the last year, just thank you. Thank you for encouraging and keeping us going. And thank you for being a part of this just an amazing adventure. And now for the sales pitch, if you haven't seen the movie, it's still widely available at online, digital. You can watch it on demand, iTunes, Amazon, directly from our website. It's pretty darn easy too. It's waltmovie.com. It's 90 minutes. Enjoy it. It's nice 90 minutes. And then as well as DVDs are available on Amazon, and they're also available still some at the Walmart stores, but it's been about 2 months, so we're probably starting to get, you know, moved off the shelves.
I was going to ask about that. How does that work? Do they say, like, we're going to carry the movie for this amount of time, or do they say, hey, we're going to put it out, and as long as it sells, we'll keep it, and then...
Yeah, that's not really my call, because we have a distributor, Vision Films, which are great people. They handle the deal with Walmart. What we kind of know is, every week or so I go check. I haven't checked this week, but 3 or 4 days ago, there were still a couple copies sitting on our local shelves. But as far as I know, they're there until, you know, they sell, and they'll reorder if they sell out, so... Go out there and get them. If they don't have them, I apologize. Like I said, it did come out in mid-September, so it's been a little bit, you know, don't blame them at that point. But if you do want DVDs, if you want a hard copy, you want to guarantee you get it, you can go to Amazon and order it and have it tomorrow. So, I mean, it's that's probably your easiest, best bet for a hard copy. And then you can always, like I said, get the digital in pretty much at all the major digital distribution houses, whether that's, like I said, Amazon Instant or iTunes or Vudu or anywhere, man. And you just go and check out there. And also, if you've seen the movie already, like I said, please leave us reviews. This really does help. Our views are overwhelmingly positive, but because we're an indie independent film, you know, we don't have hundreds and hundreds of reviews on some of these sites. So if one bad review comes in, it skews a lot of it. So we do hope, you know, if you guys like the movie, to go in and give us a nice review over on Amazon and iTunes. It really does help us a lot. And hopefully next year we'll be able to, and I will share it with you guys, you know, hopefully you'll start seeing it pop up on some of your subscription-based services and things like that. But we're not ready to announce that just yet.
Oh, Netflix, huh?
No, not Netflix.
Hulu's mostly television, isn't it?
It's there are movies on Hulu. There's movies on there's Amazon Prime. There's a couple out there. I can't say what they are yet. Because we're actually in negotiations with them right now.
Sure.
But, you know, hopefully that'll be sometime next year. But if you want to see the movie guaranteed, this is the way to do it right now. And that's the best way to do it, because I'm not sure when that's going to happen. But hopefully at some point it does, because I want the movie to be available to as many people as possible.
I highly recommend anyone, any of our listeners, to go to Amazon, order it, get a hard copy of it. I like, you know what, this is the type of, in my opinion, this is the type of movie that you can watch over and over again. This is the type of movie you want to, you know what, some of your friends who are not big in the Disney community may not have this information at their fingertips, but you know what, you can pass that copy to them, let them watch it and enjoy it, you know, and that's how the word spreads, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people have emailed me. It's kind of a cool way to do it. A lot of people have bought the movie and watched it on their plane ride, whether to Disney or on their drive to Disneyland or Disney World. And it does change your perspective. It does give you a, even if you don't love the movie, it gives you, when you see the statue, the partner statue in Disney World, or you see the statue out in California Adventure, which is pretty much the last scene of our movies and that kind of gear, it does give you a different point of view to who he was and what this whole thing you're seeing around you is so much more than just an amusement park.
One, you know, an interesting thing, the preview, the video preview, I got the email for the link for the preview the day I got to Orlando for our Disney trip that was in April.
So oh, that's great.
I actually watched it at, you know, we had driven to Orlando. We stayed a couple nights at the Radisson before we went on to Disney mm-hmm. property. So I watched it streaming on my laptop in the hotel right before the day before we right. actually started our Disney trip.
That's great.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and that stuff, I love that. I think that even helps your excitement to get in the parks, and also, like I said, it gives you a different sort of reference in a weird way about what you're looking at. So it's been pretty neat for us, and it's been pretty neat as filmmakers. And like the guy Mark Stewart, who played Elias Disney, like he called me when he was at the park just as a fan walking through, and you know he saw the window and he just called me and was like, man, I was a kind of a fan before and I got it, but now it's totally different. And now I'm like having an emotional moment sitting here. I'm like,
he's a converted yeah. Disney nerd.
Yeah, now he's part of Disney history, man. And it's a pretty big deal, and it's a pretty surreal moment for all of us to be involved in anyway. Whether it's, you know, Alice Davis showed up to our UCLA premiere or,
what?
You know, yeah, I would get into that. Yeah, Alice Davis and Andreas Deja showed up and came out and supported the movie. And it was just like, you know, that was probably one of the more nerve-wracking moments. Like, all right, I'm going to sit in the theater and watch a movie I made about Walt Disney with a person that knew him. Great. This is going to be real exciting. And, you know, I didn't. You know, we had to do a Q&A after, but I didn't get to talk to her much after the movie. But I got a nice message from one of the people she works with, said that she enjoyed it. But her being there alone was pretty exciting. And, you know, even people like that, like, you know, the UCLA premiere happened because the Disney Club of UCLA got on board with the movie. And those are some awesome kids that aren't like us who just share this love and passion for Disney. And, you know, I have to say, if you live in the West Coast, you should go like their page on Facebook, and they have events that are open to the public that are just awesome. I mean, they've had, Marty Sklar. They've had just so many awesome people come in, and they do crazy Disney events, and it's a lot of fun. So check out the Disney Club UCLA, too, while you're at it. But I've promoted every other event other than us, but including us. But I've just met so many cool people this year that it's hard not to share the love.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Logan, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Disney nerds, please go search Logan out on Facebook. It's Logan Sekulow, SekulowW. And search As Dreamers Do. If you haven't gotten a copy of the movie, please go to Amazon. Or if you happen to be in Walmart and see it, pick it up there. I'm sure the more they sell at Walmart, probably the better chance they'll keep carrying it.
Absolutely, yeah, and the more people keep talking about the movie, the longer it'll be available, and who knows. You could definitely, if enough demand happens, heck, we'll do another one, so just keep it going, and we're excited to still be a part of this adventure.
If you're interested in any of these meets Logan was talking about, if you can't reach him, email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, follow us on Facebook, and at Twitter, at thedisneynerds. Logan, thank you again. It's been a lot of fun talking to you again. You got me even more excited. I think I may have to go watch the movie again.
Sounds good. As many times as possible. You know, maybe you can beat me with the amount of times I've seen this movie.
I doubt that.
I doubt it. But, man, it's I really do appreciate everything you guys have done for us. And thank you so much. And hopefully we'll have something to talk about again soon.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot. Right. Talk to you later.
Right, bye-bye.
This is Ed saying goodnight. And I hope you enjoyed this interview. If you want to get in touch with the show, please send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and definitely check out our Facebook pages, the Disney Nerds Group, and the Disney Nerds Podcast. Talk to you later, guys.